Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
So the question in the Ladies with Babies group this morning was, should I thank my partner for doing a minimal amount of childcare when I do the most?
This is going to be trouble.
And notice I didn't say male or female. It's just partner.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, when to say thank you.
I believe when you framed this the first time, it was also that this partner expected a thank you.
Yes.
Which so it's more than that.
Yes.
It's more than just should I do it.
Thank you. Because the partner said, I do more than most partners.
Of the
other partners.
Thanks
I should
for
be
this.
Thanked for this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's like, dude. Yeah. For real.
Yeah.
But so the real question is, you know, if the goal is equity in domestic issues, where do thank yous lie in perpetuating this dynamic?
Yeah. I think we have to start by, first of all, clarifying what thank yous ostensibly mean, what they actually mean, and what are the conditions under which somebody should express gratitude to somebody else. Now, you know, I mean, the question sort of implies in all of that, that you only thank people, or you should only thank people, when they've done something beyond what's expected of them, which is an interesting kind of thing that sounds kind of weird in some ways, because I think most of us, when we just navigate the day, there are lots of good things that happen to us and bad things that happen to us. And I think what most people are used to doing is calling out the bad stuff. And the good stuff that is typical, we say, well, what? Nothing to be said about that because that happens all the time. That's a problem. Yeah. Because I think most people who have healthy, nurturing, warm relationships, whether they're in a marriage or in a friendship or even in professional relationships at work, those relationships are predicated on the fact of people expressing appreciation for other people. And then the question is, okay, so what bar has to be, you know, reached before you say, okay, thanks are warranted? But really, I think most of us who get unexpected expressions of gratitude are heartened by that. Now, the problem that you raise is the idea of expectation and thanking under obligation.
Yeah.
which is not a good, yeah, not a good
right.
thing.
But I do want to pick up quickly on something that Bob was saying. You know, there is this tendency to call out the negative, but there's a lot of research, and Barbara Fredrickson was probably the first one to get prominence for this, pointing out that in close relationships, you need a fairly high ratio of positive to negative comments in order to create a general sense of positivity in the relationship. And she argues that it's that ratio is 3-1. That is 3 positive comments for every 1 negative comment. And I think there's a little bit of controversy in the literature about exactly what that ratio is. But I think what's clear is that ratio is higher than 1-1.
Yeah.
And certainly higher than 0-1. So it's very important to find ways to say positive things to each other in a close relationship more than you would say negative things. And so thanking someone for doing something that they were still obliged to do has a positive impact on the relationship overall, because particularly with young children, there are many things one ends up having to complain about.
Yeah.
Because there's just a lot of responsibilities and a lot of exhaustion, right? So it's things that would roll off your back in a better rested state become particularly bothersome when you're operating on much less sleep than you need. And so you notice those things, and it's not inappropriate to say the things that are bothering you, because how would someone else know that you're upset about something if you never say it? But in that context, it becomes all the more important to find ways to maximize the opportunities to also say positive things as a way of making clear that the relationship itself overall is a positive in your life.
And I think we have to clarify too that what's positive and negative doesn't necessarily mean laden with intense emotion.
And there is another piece to this too. So positive feedback often creates better behavior. You know, one of the things that therapists talk about a lot, for example, when working with kids, is you want to catch them doing something good rather than focusing all the time on the negative. Because and we've talked about this on previous shows, kids want attention. And so if they know the best way to get attention is to do something bad, then paradoxically, they're going to do bad things in order to get your attention because you're not noticing the good ones.
So thank you for giving me a moment to jump in here. So here's another question, though. Doesn't it reinforce the assumption of responsibility on one partner versus the other?
Again, only if there's an asymmetry. So the second piece is, I think that it would be perfectly legitimate for the mom in question to say, you know, thank you for doing that. By the way, I've changed 11 diapers today.
I would tell you, we way overestimate our motivations for doing the things that we do. It is arguable that almost everything that we do is based on some reinforcement history that has led us to behave in that way. And I think a lot of us, we think, well, I'm doing this because I'm fundamentally good, and that's why I'm doing this. And I'm caring, and I'm doing this, not realizing the fact that, you know, there have been a lot of experiences in our history where being whatever I've just defined as good and caring have been reinforced. Now, that reinforcement doesn't come every time, but I mean, it's not unreasonable, you know, to think about the idea of somebody being so-called intrinsically motivated. Really, what does that mean? It means that there's a behavior occurring in the absence of any obvious reinforcement. But it doesn't mean that that behavior has never been reinforced before. And as behavior is reinforced infrequently over time, now, over time, that behavior is going to be perpetuated even in the absence of reinforcement. Boy, that person's really intrinsically motivated. Okay, fine. But it didn't come about because something welled up inside them out of their soul. It's because their reinforcement history has led them to actually behave in this way.
Next week, we'll talk about motivating change with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas. Thank you for listening.